Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it is wonderful to be here tonight. And as usual, we're going to sing some songs for a while and worship God. I love doing that, and it's wonderful that we can come together, that we have this place where we can gather. And before we do anything tonight, we're going to go ahead and pray. I'm going to do that right now. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this night, thanking Thee for bringing us here. Thank Thee for giving us this place where we can gather and come together in Thy precious name. And I pray, Lord, that Thy presence would be here tonight. I ask that Thy Spirit would be poured out. I ask that Thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us, Lord. I pray that Thou would inspire us as we sing unto Thee to truly give Thee our hearts. I pray, O God, that we would worship Thee in spirit and in truth, for we know that Thou seekest us to worship Thee. I pray, Lord, that Thou would preside over this entire service, let everything be done according to Thy perfect will. And I ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you can find your chorus book, we're going to start with number 115 tonight. I will enter His gates. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for He hath glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And I am so thankful to know that the God we serve is a God without limitations. He's a God who can do anything. And He is who we must put our trust in. You know, a lot of people, they'll put their trust in the arm of flesh, but the arm of flesh will fail you. Jesus never fails us. So why don't we go to number 19 and sing Some Trust in Chariots. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now know I that the Lord saved His anointed. He will hear Him from His We are risen and stand upright. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now know I that the Lord saved his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Praise the Lord. Well, why don't we go now? It just seems like a really good song to sing after that one. Number 90, the name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. So why don't we go there? Number 90. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run into the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run into the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run into the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. To God. Well, as long as we're on this page, why don't we sing number 89, God Can Do Anything. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything.
but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. My God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, why don't we go to number 52 and sing Standing on the Rock of Ages. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from every storm that rages. I'm rich, but not from Satan's wages. On the solid rock, I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from every storm that rages. I'm rich, but not from Satan's wages. Standing on the solid rock, I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from every storm that rages. I'm rich, but not from Satan's wages. Standing on the solid rock, praise the Lord. Glory to God.
Praise God.
Oh yes, Jesus is our rock upon whom we build our lives. Praise the Lord. Well, if you can find your melodies of praise hymnal, we're going to go to number 237 right now and sing I've Anchored in Jesus. Upon life's boundless ocean where mighty billows roll, I've fixed my hope in Jesus, blessed anchor of my soul. When trials fierce assail me, as storms are gathering o'er, I rest upon His mercy and trust Him more. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life all brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for He hath power to save. I've anchored to the rock of ages. He keeps my soul from evil and gives me blessed peace. His voice hath stilled the waters and bid their tumult cease. My pilot and deliverer, to Him I all confide. For always when I need Him, He's at my side. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life all brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave.
I've anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I've anchored to the rock of ages. He is my friend and savior, in him my anchor's cast. He drives away my sorrows and shields me from the blast. By faith I'm looking upward beyond life's troubled sea. There I behold a haven prepared for me. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life are brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I've anchored to the rock of ages. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life are brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I've anchored to the rock of ages. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. And I am standing on the promises tonight. So why don't we go to number 30 and sing that song right now. Number 30, Standing on the Promises. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fears assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing on the promises I now can see, perfect present cleansing in the blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ makes free, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior, I'm my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing.
my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Praise the Lord.
One of those wonderful promises we have is the promise of victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't we go to number 210 and sing Victory Ahead?
When the host of Israel, led by God, round the walls of Jericho softly trod, trusting in the Lord, they felt the conqueror's tread. By faith they saw the victory ahead, victory ahead, victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. David with a shepherd's sling and five stones met the giant on the field all alone. Trusting in the Lord, he knew what God had said. By faith he saw the victory ahead. Victory ahead, victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. Daniel prayed unto the Lord thrice each day, then unto the lion's den led the way. Trusting in the Lord, he did not fear or dread. By faith he saw the victory ahead. Victory ahead, victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. Often with a carnal mind I was tried, asking for deliverance, oft I cried. Trusting in the Lord, I reckoned I was dead. By faith I saw the victory ahead. Victory ahead, victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. When like those who've gone before to that land, by death's river golden dark I shall stand. Trusting in the Lord, I will not fear or dread. By faith I see the victory ahead. Victory ahead, victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. Victory ahead, victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead.
Praise the Lord. Well, what we're going to do now is take up the collection, and then we're going to sing one more song. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee for Thy love towards us, for Thy care towards us, for Thy sustaining power, for Thy mercy and Thy grace that has kept us for so many years. And I pray, Lord, that Thou hast continued to lead, guide, and direct us in each and everything that we do. We ask, O God, that Thou hast given us the wisdom we need on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose. For we know that these funds belong to Thee, not for our own use, but we ask, O God, that Thou hast given us the wisdom to use them for Thy glory. And I pray, O God, that Thou hast blessed the givers here tonight, and also bless those who are unable to give. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing one more song before we get started in the Word, and it just seems appropriate to go to number 294 and sing Victory in Jesus.
And He bought me with His redeeming blood.
blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. Plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Turn this over to Shirley in just a minute, but before we do that, I do want to make one quick announcement. We are on the verge of releasing another piano instrumental CD that Mom and I recorded over here, and that CD is appropriately going to be titled Victory in Jesus. There's one copy in existence right now, and I just made that today, and I'm going to be giving it to Mom after the service so she can listen to it, but we're very close to releasing that, and I know people are going to be excited about that, so I just wanted to let you all know. I would say within a week or so it should be ready to go, so praise the Lord. And with that thought in mind, we will turn this over to Shirley and see what she has to say tonight.
Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is good. Praise the Lord. You know, just sometimes with all that kind of thing, like the recording, you know, your hand hurts at times. And oh, boy, your neck gets stiff. And oh, Lord knows all the things that come up. And oh, my. Sometimes I think it's not as easy as it used to be, that's for sure. But God is good. And I know that we can put all our hope and trust in Him. That is for sure. He is so good to us. He's ever faithful. And, you know, if we could just rest in Him, we will know what victory is. Victory in Jesus. You know, victory is moment by moment. You know, little by little, you know. And sometimes we might feel like we just kind of went the other way. But praise the Lord, we can gain ground, we can get it back, you know, we can, you know, bring it to the Lord and let Him revive us and give us that strength that seems to be lacking, you know, and we all need that. We're all human beings, and there's times when, you know, we fight battles. I think that's something that isn't always understood with the Christian walk. It's not an easy road. And if you think it is, and then, you know, something gets tough, you know, you better brace yourself, because that's just the way it is. And Jesus did warn us time and time again in the Scripture, and I think maybe some of that will be brought out tonight with the Lord's help, but for sure we could not do it without the Lord. That's what I know. I know that He knows how to give us strength for every circumstance. Every occasion, all the things that come up and try to take over and overwhelm us, the Lord knows how to give us victory. And that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. We can claim His promises. We can stand on those promises. There's no promises like God's promises. You know, the arm of flesh fails. But God knows how to take us through and how to help us. And we can rest in that. We can rest that He is with His people and that those promises that he gave us. You know, he's not going to leave us. He's not going to fail us. He's going to be with us to the end of the world. We can rest in those things. And it's wonderful. It's really wonderful, just, you know, knowing that he wouldn't give us more than that which we could bear. But he'd always make a way, somehow, you know, that we could bear it. And that's precious. These are God's promises. And thank God we can stand on them. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is so good and so faithful. Praise the Lord. Let's just go to him in prayer right now. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you again that we can come before you, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you for your precious word. Oh, Lord God. Oh, Lord, your blessings. And oh, God, the things that you've helped us with, God, the things that we could never do without thee, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, oh, Lord, there's none like thee, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, there's no other Savior like you, Lord. And oh, God, our lives, our praise, oh, God, our devotion, all needs to go to thee, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, for there is none like thee, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, there is no arm that can help us like yours. Oh, God, oh, Lord, we could not do it without thee. I pray, oh, Lord, that you be here tonight to meet our needs, oh, Lord, as individuals. Oh, God, those that are listening online, and, oh, God, those that are sitting here. Oh, God, I pray, oh, Lord, that you would meet their needs. Oh, God, oh, Lord, and that you talk to our hearts. Oh, God, I pray that you'd help us to get to higher ground tonight, Lord. And, oh, God, have deeper realizations, God. And, oh, Lord, oh, God, that we could get to that place that we need to be in thee, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, I just pray that you'd bind, oh, Lord, every confusing spirit, every demon of doubt and fear, and, oh, God, everything this adversary might try to bring to us, Lord. Oh, God, that we could rest in you, Lord. Oh, God, we come against every stronghold in the name of Jesus and take authority over it in the name of Jesus, oh, Lord. Oh, God, oh, Lord, for thou hast given us victory, Lord Jesus, moment by moment and day after day, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you, Jesus. Pray that you be with me as I teach this tonight, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, that your presence would be here. And, oh, Lord, that you would deal with our hearts. You'd help us, Lord God. Oh, Lord God. And, oh, Lord, that you'd bring us all to that place we need to be with you, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, and I pray that your salvation would reach for that one, oh, Lord, who does not yet know thee, God. Pray, oh God, that you touch tonight in the name of Jesus, oh God. Let your spirit move in our hearts, oh God. Let the devil be rebuked in Jesus' name, oh God, for we stand on thy promises. We rest in you, Jesus. Oh God, we give this all to you in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. We'll call this tonight, No Other Foundation. No Other Foundation. Praise the Lord. Praise God. We're going to start by going to Luke, the 6th chapter, and read a little bit there and just see how the Lord directs us all. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Praise God. Luke 6, and we'll look at verse 46 here as we begin. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the storm beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise God. You know, there's so many people that hear what they want to hear and, you know, do what they want to do. But we've been given a map here, a guide, a guidebook, a wonderful treasure here, God's Word. And We have directions in that book. We have a way that's paved out for us in the Bible, in the Scripture. The sad thing is that so many people just don't much heed it, it seems like. You know, there's religions, and some are even called Christian, that are built on something totally other than this word. In fact, yes, there's major religions in this country, and you can hardly find anything that's in the Scripture. And that's sad. It's really sad because people put their faith and hope in religion, don't they? They stand on, you know, what the priest tells them, or the minister in the pulpit. But how many of them know what the Word of God says, or ignore what the Word of God says, or rewrite what the Word of God says? I tell you what, that's not good. Because we certainly need to heed what the Lord Jesus said. And here he asks this question as he begins this part of Luke, the 6th chapter. And, you know, there were some, I'm certain, that came to him and said, "Lord, Lord," and you know, confessed that they even knew him. But, you know, the proof is in the pudding. You know, it's you know, if you say, "Lord, Lord," and then you go live some other way than what he instructed his word, or you say something else than what he has stated in his word, I mean, what good is it? What good is it? You're just doing what you want to do. You're not listening to what he said. You're not doing the things which he stated in his word. And that obviously was a problem back there in the time when Jesus walked this earth. And people coming to him saying, "Lord, Lord," and, you know, being ever so nice before him, but, you know, and pretending and, you know, just all this and that. But when it came to following what he said, going another way. And of course, he likens them with his parable. And he talks of those that would come to him, and then they would hear his sayings, and then they would do his sayings. And he said, "I'm going to show you what that kind of individual is like." And I like this description here in Luke. It tells us in just a few words, really, but I think it's very potent here, the way it's described. It's said he's like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. I mean, how far down would you have to go to find a foundation like that? But that's what this individual did, because they wanted that house to be secured. They knew that there were potentially floods that could come. There could be earthquakes that could come. You know, other turbulences could come. And, you know, that house could be shaken. But this person had wisdom enough to, you know, when they wanted to build that house, "I'm going to lay it on a foundation that cannot be moved." So it tells us that's just what they did. They built a house. They digged down deep until they came to a rock. Something that could not be moved, something that was very stable. And sure enough, when those floods came, oh yes, and there's floods of life. There's things that come upon us that try to overwhelm us and destroy us and captivate us and discourage us. Oh, we all go through those things. Oh yes, the floods came. Oh yes, the stream beat vehemently upon that house. Oh, it was a strong wind. But praise the Lord, that house could not be shaken because it was founded upon a rock. And praise the Lord, we know what that rock is. That rock is Christ Jesus, and there is none other like him. And if that's the person that came to the Lord Jesus, heard what he said, and did what he said, that's the person whose house is founded upon a rock. And of course, what is so important, Jesus told the parable of the sowers and the different grounds there in the book of Matthew. And, you know, when you read of that, we realize that those four different grounds that he talked about, there was only one that really bared good fruit, that really was grounded firmly. And obviously, that kind of ground, the things that grew in that ground had deep roots. So that no matter what, it could keep going down into the earth and be anchored firmly. And that's, of course, what our life has to be, is firmly rooted in the Lord Jesus. We've got to know what the book says. We've got to heed what the book says. We've got to do what the book says, meaning the Holy Word of God, so that when all the storms of life come to try to shake us and hinder us and destroy us, captivate us, it isn't going to matter. It isn't going to matter. It's not going to shake us. It's not going to upset us. We're going to know in whom we have believed. We're going to be persuaded that He's able to keep that which we have committed unto Him against that day. We're going to know that deep down in our hearts. But then in contrast, Jesus told about those that would hear and not do. Faith without works, perhaps. And he said that's like a man that built his house without a foundation. No foundation at all. Just upon the earth. And of course, when those storms came and beat vehemently against that house, it says it immediately fell. It just collapsed just like that. It was suddenly no more. Because there was no depth to it. You know, it had nothing as a sure foundation. And it was easily shaken. And how many people live that kind of life? They might sort of know a little bit, you know, a few stories that they heard in their childhood, perhaps. Or maybe they're leaning upon what, you know, somebody in the pulpit says, or that TV minister, or, you know, the man down the street, for all I know, or what grandma said, perhaps. And don't check it out. Don't dig deep. Don't search the scriptures to see what they really say. I tell you what, that kind of house isn't going to stand. You know, deception is so possible. You might be very sincere, but if you believe something that's contrary to the Word of God, you've been deceived. And you're not even going to know it if you don't check it out with the scripture. Of course, Jesus talked about this, you know. He said in Matthew 7 that not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. In fact, he said that there would be many that would say to him on that day, Lord, we've prophesied in your name. Lord, in thy name we've cast out devils. Lord, in thy name we've done many wonderful works. And the scripture tells us, Jesus is going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. They might have done this, they might have done that. But if they weren't anchored in Jesus, they weren't built on the right foundation, if they were full of sin, if they hadn't repented, they're living in sin. I'll tell you what, they're going to be dismissed. They're going to be among the goats when Jesus judges them, when they stand before that judgment seat of Christ. Oh my, it's just so important. I know in Luke, the 13th chapter, they asked Jesus, Lord, are there few that enter in? Be there just few, Lord? They had watched, you know, him as he taught, as Jesus as he taught the people, as he healed the sick and cast out the devils and even raised the dead. They watched those events. But so many didn't follow through. So many abandoned the Lord Jesus. When he got teaching the deep things of God, they wanted nothing to do with it. So I'm sure his disciples had watched that phenomena, and, you know, that question was asked, Lord, are there few that shall be saved? And what did Jesus say? He said, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many shall seek to enter in and shall not be able. That's what he said. And he went on to say that there's going to be some that once the master of the house is risen up and shut to the door, and then, you know, some begin to stand without and knock at the door and say, Lord, Lord, open up unto us. But if they're not anchored in Jesus, if they've not been born again of the water and of the Spirit, if they've not been living an overcoming life, their life is full of sin, he's going to say, I know you not whence you are. I don't know you. And they might even answer, as it tells us here in Luke 13, you know, we've been drunk in thy presence. Thou hast taught in our spirits. We know you. We know you. You know, we sat with you. You know, we heard you. But yet, if they didn't anchor in the rock Christ Jesus, if they didn't dig down deep, they didn't refrain from sin and turn their lives over to God, if they didn't repent and be baptized, I'll tell you what, he's going to say, I tell you, I know you not. Whence you are, depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Oh, that's how serious it is. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, we know that Jesus asked a very important question, really. You know, it tells us in the 13th verse here in Matthew 16, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? A very important question. And you know, they responded, well, you know, there's a lot of different opinions, Lord. You know, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elias. Others, Jeremiah, and you know, or some other prophet. But Jesus asked them, he said, but whom say ye that I am? It tells us that Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You see, there are some things that come by revelation. There's some things that you're not going to know in your own flesh. But it had been revealed to Simon Peter. He knew who Jesus was. He knew he wasn't one of those prophets. He knew he wasn't Jeremiah. He knew he wasn't Elijah. He wasn't John the Baptist. He was the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. And yes, Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And he said, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What is this rock that the Lord will build his church upon? It was a revelation that Peter had, that thou art Christ. You are the Christ. You are the anointed one, the Son of the living God. That's the foundation of the Church of the Living God, that Jesus is Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the one that was prophesied that should come. And praise the Lord. Peter understood it. It had been revealed to him. And Jesus said unto him, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Tell you what, it comes by revelation. He wouldn't pay to tell somebody that Jesus is the Christ if it wasn't revealed to them. But praise the Lord, the kingdom of God is established upon that revelation. That's the rock, that's the foundation, that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what a wonderful thing it is. That's the rock that the Lord was going to build his church upon. And praise the Lord, what a foundation. What a foundation. It's unmovable. It's unshakable. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There is nothing that can bring it down. There is nothing that can destroy it. It is established. It is firm. It is forever. It is the rock that cannot be shaken. Oh, praise the Lord. And it was revealed to Peter. And praise the Lord, I trust that it has been revealed to all of us here tonight. Amen. The 10th chapter of Luke. We just cement that just a little bit more. If we look at verse 21 here, Luke 10 tells us, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. Oh, yes, the revelations that Jesus has for his people. He doesn't give those revelations to just anybody. He's hidden those things from the wise and the prudent, the proud, those people that want to figure it out in themselves and have their own self-righteousness, the so-called wise and prudent. It's hidden from them, but instead he's revealed it unto babes, those that will come to him as children, those that will surrender to him, those that will humble themselves before God. And it tells us in verse 22, all things are delivered to me of my Father. No man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. See, it comes by revelation. If we understand who Jesus is, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, it's because he's revealed it to us. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Oh, praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing if we understand who Jesus is. If we understand the revelation that the kingdom of God is built upon. Oh, yes, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, that there was a God in heaven that loved us so much that he put on flesh to come to this world as the Christ, as the Anointed One, as a Savior of this world, to redeem us from sin, to buy us back. And I tell you, just as it says here in Luke, oh, so many of the prophets prophesied of these days. And they desired to see them. Oh, they desired to see them. But they didn't live in that dispensation. They didn't live in that time. And it wasn't shown to them. They desired to hear the good things that we can hear from God's word. But they didn't live in that period of time and had not heard them. But praise the Lord, here we are tonight. We live in this dispensation, this period of grace, and we've heard it. We've got his word. We've got it right before us. We've got something that wasn't, given to so many who have lived on this earth, didn't have this privilege of opening it up. I mean, you know, the printing press, it took quite a few years before that came about. And, you know, the Bible was only handwritten before that time period. It was very costly to have the scripture, and it was given little by little. You know, they might have just even had portions of it. And here we have the whole counsel of God. We have it right before us. It's readily available in this country that we live in, where so many have hungered and thirsted for it and not had it. You know, maybe just a page sometimes, maybe just what, you know, they heard tell somehow by, you know, the mouth of somebody that the Lord sent by. You know, we don't know. We have such a treasure here with God's word, this wonderful word that is forever settled in heaven, and we need to appreciate it so much. But more than that, we need to heed it. We need to do what it says. We need to dig down deep so that our foundation is on the rock, because not only have we heard it, but we're going to do it. We're going to live it. We're going to heed it. Amen. Let's also go to John 8 here for a moment. Interesting verse here. So many didn't believe in Jesus. And of course, it was so important there. Verse 24, where he said, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." That's how important it is to understand who Jesus is. And here we have this phenomena going on today. You know, there's these Jewish rabbis that, you know, some of the major, most important rabbis in Jerusalem have gotten together, and you know, they're thinking that their Messiah is going to come soon, you know, according to the Talmud, and you know, whatever they're looking at, they see that it could happen this year. They're thinking it should happen this year. They're looking for another. They're looking for their own Messiah and their own millennium and all that. But Jesus walked this earth, didn't he? And oh, so many that he spoke to, so many that saw him, and what a gift they were given. The Son of God, the Son of Man, there on earth before them and doing all those miracles in their very midst. But so many just, yes, as you know, we read there from Matthew's, he's maybe, you know, John the Baptist. He's maybe Elijah. He's maybe Jeremiah. Oh, one of those prophets, you know. He does all these things. But, you know, the great need, the essentiality to believe that he is God, manifested in the flesh, that he is the Son of God, that I am he. He is the I am. Oh, yes, that spoke to Moses. Yes, he is the I am that revealed himself to the prophets of old. And unless we believe that he is God, that he is the I am, it says, ye shall die in your sins. That's just how important it is to have that understanding. And of course, as we just read, it comes by revelation. You know, along with that thought there from Matthew, as Peter had that understanding in Revelation, there was another time here in the 6th chapter of John where, again, Jesus was bearing down on strong doctrine. He was teaching that he was the living bread which came down from heaven, and if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I give is my flesh. He was foretelling of what he was going to do as he would give himself for the world, for our sins. And so many didn't get it. They didn't have any understanding at all. The words that Jesus spoke, certainly, as it tells us in verse 63, they were spirit and they were life. But so many did not believe. It tells us in verse 64, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And verse 65, and he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. And when he spoke this thing, it tells us that from this time, that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They couldn't bear his hard sayings when he really bore down in strong doctrine. All at once, they were gone. And that must have been hard. That must have been hard, even for the Lord Jesus. And it tells us in verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will you go also? Will you also go away? Will you also go away? And I like how Peter responded. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Praise the Lord. There again, that revelation that had been given him, and he knew there was no other source to go to. There was no other God. There was no other authority. There was no other being to go to. Only Jesus had the words of eternal life. There's no other one to turn to. And certainly that's the way it is with us who to whom could we go? Seeing that Jesus has the words of eternal life, there is just no other. There is no other. And he said, we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, praise the Lord. That's the rock. That's the foundation. That's the revelation that the gospel is built upon. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and there is none other. There is none other that we can go to. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Old Testament here for a moment. Let's go to Isaiah 28. And this scripture, oh my, it has quite the description here. If we can look at verse 7 here, to begin here in Isaiah 28. I believe this is even very, very similar to our present circumstances, our present times that we live in. It tells us, but they also have erred through wine and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. And I believe that's a description of people. And it's talking particularly about the priest and the prophet. Such without any discernment. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. Because they are drunken on the things of the world. They are drunken on the precepts of this world. They may be even drunken on strong drink, swallowing up wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They don't know right from wrong. They don't know scripture from error. And yet they're up there teaching in the pulpits and trying to tell people how to be saved and how to find the Lord. But this is how the Lord Jesus sees it. There in verse 8 it says, for all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. That's how God sees that a disgusting priest and prophet who's up there proclaiming what they want to proclaim without knowledge, without understanding, without being filled with the Holy Ghost. Just words that they're uttering. Maybe a social gospel. Oh, how disgusting. That's how the Lord sees it. All tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so there is no place clean. That's how God sees it. Well, I'll tell you what. As I said, I think that describes today pretty clearly. I know I just had a time to do a little bit of a checking online. There was there's a Truth Shop TV expose that's online, and it's very potent. It's very, very potent. Truth Shock TV. Truth Shock TV. and it's very potent, and at times very hard to bear. But I think it's a picture of what we're seeing in the pulpits today. And I've only listened to a couple of their exposés, and there's quite a few of them, actually. In some of these, David Wilkerson is preaching, and he is strong. I mean, he is coming forth really strong. But so it is. These days, what do you see in the pulpits? It's very sickening. You know, doctrines of men. You know, people teaching that gain is godliness, for example. Using other versions of the Bible, not hardly even knowing anymore. And this expose that I'm talking about uses King James, which is very refreshing. I haven't checked it out completely, but so far I've seen some good things come out of it. But from the pulpits these days, what do we see? We see wolves in sheep's clothing, priests and prophets, ministers, pretending that they are servants of the Lord. But they probably have a stage up there. They probably have bands. They probably have drums. You know, they might even be gyrating to worship, sort of what they call worship. Filthy, filthy worship that's certainly given over to the devil. Oh, I'll tell you what, you know, it's hard to bear. They might, you know, be preaching or teaching or talking without even using scripture. And if they do use scripture, it's probably another version of the Bible. And besides, it might be doing abominable deeds. I don't even want to mention some of the things that I happened to see while I was viewing this. And the things that are uttered, the filthy things that, oh wow, are in the pulpits, and the declarations, oh my, that come out of these apostate churches. Well, I'll tell you what, yeah, there was a portion there where it was talking about, I think it was Easter 2012 at St. Peter's Basilica in New York City. And I'll tell you what, whoever was up there was talking about Lucifer as being the Son of God and Jesus being subject to him. I tell you what, it might have been in Latin, but you know, through translation it was pretty filthy. And I'll do a little more checking on that, but you know, it's not pretty what's coming from the pulpits and what people are proclaiming. And you know, I'll tell you what, oh, there's pigs in the pulpit. I mean, it's just plain filthiness. I don't even want to tell you some of the things that are going on. It's too much to bear. It's too ugly. It's too filthy. And just to think that people are being deceived. You know, there's a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And you know, from such we are to turn away. Oh yes, people leaning on their own understanding, coming up with another gospel, not giving heed to this precious book that we've been given, certainly not established on the true foundation. Oh, anything from it, anything but it, really. But what a description here it is in Isaiah 28. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. No judgment, no discernment. All tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Oh, yes. Disgusting, filthy stuff in the pulpits. Wolves in sheep clothing, pretending that they're Christians, pretending that they're preachers. Far from it. Far, far, far from it. But here it continues in Isaiah, verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little and there a little. See, it all had to be built up so that, you know, it would be built properly and correctly. You know, established step by step exactly as God had ordained. So that it would be built on the rock. So the foundation would be sure, unmovable. And something that we could lean on. Something that we could stand on. So it was. The prophets declared it. Precept upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. And Jesus Christ came on the scene, didn't he? Yes. Proclaiming it. The kingdom of God. Establishing it, bringing it forth. And then it tells us, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Oh yes, it's foretelling the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost that God would give to his people as he would bring forth, oh yes, the new covenant. The new covenant in his blood that would take away sins so that we wouldn't have to rely upon the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Instead, we could come to the Lord Jesus and know that it has been done once and for all. And there is no more atonement needed to cleanse us from sin. But that we would come to him and repent and surrender and give our lives to him. It says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people." Oh, yes, he's going to bring forth that new covenant. Oh, yes, so that we can all know the Lord, from the least of us to the greatest. We can all know him. We can all be his friend. We can all hear him talk to our soul and speak to our spirit. And he said to whom he said, "This is a rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is a refreshing." Yet they would not hear. Oh, yes, the Lord Jesus offered us his best. Yes, he knew his ministry was going to be short. He knew he wasn't going to be there long term. You know, he knew he just had a season, and you know, who was going to finish his work? It seemed like he was cut off after just 3.5 short years of ministry. But there's a plan. Oh, God was going to commit it to his people. He was going to put his spirit within his people. Oh, he was going to speak to them so that they could hear and understand and take heed and go forward. He's going to put his rest within them. Yes, with stammering lips and another tongue, he was going to speak to his people. He's going to pour out his spirit. And he did that, didn't he, on the day of Pentecost? Oh, he did that. Yes, he had said, oh, yes, you know, there in John, the 14th chapter, yes, you know, yes, I'm with you now, but I'm going to be in you. And that's what happened when he poured out of his spirit. He said, yes, the Comforter is going to come. And the Comforter would be with us regardless of any other circumstances when he filled us with his spirit. That is the rest wherewith he may cause the rest, the weary to rest, and that is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. So many don't want to hear. So many don't want to give heed. So many don't want to listen. But he said the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Fall away, not listen, not hear. And that's what happened even in Jesus' ministry. So many did give heed. So many didn't understand. So many didn't discern. And, you know, they went away, didn't they? They didn't. They went away. They didn't understand who Jesus was. They didn't understand that he was God. He was a Savior. And as time has continued, so many don't understand. They don't get it. They don't go to the Word of God. They don't listen. That they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. It's given to us. The wonderful treasure that we have in God's Word. Precept upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Yes, as the prophets revealed it. As it was given to them. As it came forth. And then Jesus Christ himself. Oh my. But this is their way out. Those that are snared and taken. It says in verse 14, "Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem." He's talking to his own people. "Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves." Can you imagine this kind of thinking? They had actually made an agreement with the devil, I would say. They had made a covenant with death and with hell, saying, it's not going to happen to us. You know, we've made lies our refuge. Falsehoods, we've hidden ourselves with falsehoods. And, you know, we're not going to be affected by the wrath of God, by the judgment of God. Oh, my, we've got it all figured out. We're going to do our own thing. But it tells us in verse 16, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." Oh yes, praise the Lord. Regardless of their covenant with death and with hell, regardless of that, the Lord Jesus came. He came to Zion. He came to establish his church. for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. All of that he came. He that believeth shall not make haste. Oh, there's no regrets when we serve the Lord if you turn to the Lord Jesus. But it tells us, judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding places. I don't care how hard they might try to hide from the wrath of God and from his judgment. It's not going to work, because God has laid his own measuring stick out there. He's decreed it in his word, his holy scripture. It's been decreed. It's been revealed. It's been declared. And their agreement with hell is not going to stand. It tells us in verse 18, your covenant with death shall be disannulled. It shall be disregarded. It's not going to hold any water. You're not going to get by with that. Your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. Oh yes, you can't ignore that foundation that has been laid. There is no way. I love the description there in verse 16. I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. I'll tell you what, it's a beautiful thing that the Lord has given us. And all their covenant with death and with hell is not going to stand. Oh no, they're going to stand before Almighty God. They're going to understand when his wrath is outpoured like never before. And the signs, everything, every indicator being fulfilled as he has decreed in his word. He tells us in Revelation, the sixth chapter. Oh yes. The sixth seal is being poured out there in verse 12. As John beheld, it says, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. The moon became as blood. Yes, it's all ending. It's all being finalized at this moment. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. My heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Oh yes, as God is bringing forth his final judgment, and everything is suddenly being dissolved and on fire. His wrath is being poured out. And it says, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. Oh yes, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Yes, they might have made a covenant with death and with hell, but it's not going to stand. We serve a mighty God. We serve a God that, in spite of what it looks like to many, he's in control of this world. He knows what's going on, and he knows those that are his. Praise the Lord. And he knows how to keep us. He knows how to preserve us. He knows how to talk to us. He knows how to lead us and guide us. Oh, yes, and that's a wonderful thing, that we can serve the mighty God, and that we can put all things in his hands. Matthew, the 21st chapter, Jesus also talked about that great foundation that has been laid here. He just told that parable about the householder in verse 33 there, which had planted a vineyard and hedged it round about. He digged a wide press in it, built a tower, let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And of course, that shows a great deal of effort and work in building that wine press, that vineyard, and all of that. And you know, time came when it was time to gather the fruit, and so he sent out his servants to gather the fruit of the vineyard there. And those that were in charge, the husbandmen, took advantage of that. They took the servants that were sent and beat them, or killed them, or stoned them. You know, they used them very wickedly and took advantage of them. And it tells us again that man who had this wine press and vineyard, they sent out other servants, and they were treated just as the first. Very despicably, you know, just very horrendously, hatefully. One beat, one killed, one stoned. And so the owner of this property sent out his son, and thinking that they will reverence my son. Because those wicked husbandmen said, this is the heir. Let's just kill him, and then we can have this inheritance. We can seize this vineyard here, and it could be ours. So they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. Of course, when the Lord heard this, he was extremely upset. And of course, he sent out some to destroy those wicked men. And therefore, he let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen who would do according to his will, who would render him the fruits in their seasons, who would do what he required of them. And Jesus said unto them, as he was telling this story, this parable, he said, "Did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner?" Verse 42. "This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Yes, they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. They rejected him. He was the stone. He was the foundation. But he was rejected. But nonetheless, that stone that was rejected, the same is become the head of the corner, the chief cornerstone, regardless of the rejection. That is the Lord's doing. This is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. You know, nothing can stop God. There is nothing that can stop him from his will, his plan. And he told them here, "Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof." Oh, he was going to take it from them. It tells us, "And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." And so it is. If we'll fall on the rock Christ Jesus, if we'll turn over our lives to him, if we will repent, if we will humble ourselves under the mighty arm of God, the mighty hand of God, if we'll humble ourselves and be broken, we will have hope. He will have mercy to us. But to those that stand in their own way, who do their own thing, who don't do the will of their Father which is in heaven, they're going to be ground to powder. They're going to be completely destroyed. And that's the way it is. It says, "And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard this parable, they perceived that he spake of them." They understood. Oh, they weren't very happy with that. And they're just going to, you know, figure out how they're going to kill him. But, of course, they feared the multitude, it tells us, because they took him for a prophet. Let's also go to Acts, the 4th chapter here. After they were filled with the Holy Ghost, you see the power that the early church had, the authority that they had. And, of course, the 3rd chapter tells us about the healing of the lame man there at the gate. Beautiful. Peter and John laid hands on him, and he was completely healed, which was a wonderful happenstance for sure. But of course, the chief priests and all of the religious people just thought it was grievous, actually. They were grieved that the Lord Jesus was being taught. You know, they couldn't hardly bear it. And of course, they didn't really know what to do at this point because this notable work had been done, and you know, they had laid hands on the apostles and put them into prison. But they didn't know what else to do at this point, and what they ended up doing is threatening them, because they realized that that notable deed had been done because of the name of the Lord Jesus, through the authority and power that is in the name of the Lord Jesus. And it tells us, as they're questioning the apostles here in the fourth chapter of Acts, as Peter, it tells us in verse 8, he's filled with the Holy Ghost and said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him, doth this man stand here before you whole." That was the power, that was the authority. And then Peter said in verse 11, "This is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." Oh yes, they had rejected the Lord Jesus. They had denied him. They had hated him. They had crucified him. Oh, they had done shameful things to him. They had, you know, released Barabbas, a criminal, a murderer, in order to have the Lord Jesus crucified. But nonetheless, that stone, that foundation, that headpiece that they had rejected, that they had set at naught, regardless, it had become the head of the corner, the chief cornerstone, the Lord Jesus, the foundation, the word that he has declared. And Peter said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Oh, praise the Lord, that saving name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, that name that we can breathe in prayer and realize that there's power in that name, that there's authority in that name, there's healing in that name, there's virtue in that name. We can call upon that name and know that we can have deliverance, that we can have salvation, that we can find the Lord. Oh, yes, because, oh, yes, that cornerstone that was rejected, oh, that the builders rejected, that stone that was set at naught of those builders, regardless, it has become the head of the corner. Oh, praise the Lord and our Lord Jesus, our Savior, regardless of what they did to him, regardless of the fact that they crucified him, denied him, oh, yes, rejected him, he still brought forth a salvation. Oh, yes. Oh, if we will humble ourselves and we'll fall on the rock. We'll fall on the rock, Christ Jesus. Oh, yes, it's going to hurt at first. You know, we're going to have to admit that we're a sinner. We're going to have to realize that we've done filthy things. And, you know, none of our works are good. And, you know, we're going to have to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. But if we could just do that, we could just repent and realize, I can't do it of myself. Oh my, I don't have any ability in myself. I don't have any salvation in myself. But oh, if one can just humble themselves under the mighty authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, turning that life over to him and realizing there's not salvation any other. There's none other that we can turn to. There's no other doctrine. There's no other philosophy. Oh, there's no other religion. There's nothing else that can save us. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, praise the Lord. And it tells us in verse 13, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord, Jesus came into this world. Oh, yes, he came as the chief cornerstone. Yes, he came to lay down the foundation and to bring it forth so that we might see and understand who he is and why he came, that we might fall on that rock, giving our lives to him and realizing there's none other foundation that can be laid than that which is laid, that rock, Christ Jesus. There's no other recourse. There's no other plan. There's none other salvation that we can turn to by any means. Our only hope is in the Lord Jesus. Our only hope is in the Lord Jesus, as it tells us in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Yes, Jesus gave us a foundation, didn't he? But it tells us, let's take heed how we build upon it. You know, so many proclaim that they're a Christian, declare that they're a Christian, say that they're a Christian, but if their works aren't according to the Scripture, they're not doing the will of their Father which is in heaven, they haven't repented from their filthy deeds, then they're not building on the foundation. It's no matter what you call yourself. You know, if you're not doing the will of your Father which is in heaven, it's not going to count. It's not going to hold water. You're not going to be able to stand before God and be counted worthy. It says, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Oh yes, he came to this world to save us from our sins. He came to establish a foundation, that solid rock that we can stand on, that unmovable rock. If we could just dig down deep and build our house, our life, on that rock, Jesus. We could just live according to the precepts of this word. We could just do the will of our Father, which is in heaven. Oh, yes, then we could bear fruit. Then, yes, our foundation will be sure. It will be steadfast. Because that day is going to reveal it. As it continues here in the 3rd chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Oh yes, it's time to give heed. You know, we can't rely on what that TV evangelist might say. We can't rely on what the priest in the Roman Catholic Church might declare, you know, or maybe that minister down the street. Oh, that mega church, oh, with all the people that come to it and sit there and revel in all that. I'll tell you what, every man's work is going to be manifest. It's all going to be tried. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work, what sort it is. Oh, how important it's going to be on that day that our work is established upon that solid foundation that we have dug down deep. Deep. To have deep roots. So that nothing can shake us, nothing can hinder us, nothing can destroy us, but that we're firmly established in God's Word on the precepts that are declared in the Scripture. Because there's no other foundation. There's no other hope. It doesn't matter what the most intellectual, wisest so-called man in this world might say. If he's not declaring the words of truth, that it's all not. It's all nothingness. It's nothing to take heed to. But thank God, we've got something, oh, something deep. We've got something that's found in the Word of God, in this holy King James Bible that God has given us. We are so privileged to have it. We're so privileged to live in this period of time when, you know, we can come boldly before that throne of grace to find mercy, to find help in the time of need. We can come boldly before that throne and realize that there's a God in heaven who's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A righteous God, a God who wouldn't have had to do that, but loved us so much that he came to this world. Oh, praise the Lord, if we'll only humble ourselves and come to him and give him our lives, surrendering our will. What a beautiful thing it is. What a privilege it is. Oh, praise the Lord. I don't want to be like those shaky pastors and prophets, those wolves in sheep clothing, those pretenders, those hypocrites, those Pharisees. Oh my, I don't want to be like that. Oh, where God sees their table as just full of vomit and filthiness. But praise the Lord, we can lay our lives down and build our lives on the foundation that's been established in God's Word. That foundation, and there is none other, the Lord Jesus Christ. For as Peter said, to whom could we go, seeing that thou hast the words of eternal life? There is none other that we could go to. Yes, and praise the Lord, we have this privilege. Oh, praise the Lord, we can build on the foundation, Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would continue to talk to us. Pray that you'd guide us and direct us, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that you'd help us, Lord, that, oh, we would never stray from thy precepts and what thou hast taught in thy word, that we would build on that rock that you have established, the precepts, oh Lord, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and there is none other, oh God. And we thank you for what you've showed us, what you revealed to us, Lord, for, oh God, many prophets, oh God, in the past wanted to see these things. Oh God, many men of old and women of old wanted to see the good things that you established when you came to this world. Oh, and that wonderful, precious gift of the Holy Ghost that you've given to us. Oh Lord, I pray that you'd help us to give heed. Oh Lord, help us to stand fast. Help us to dig deep. Oh Lord, and I just pray that you continue to talk to our hearts. Oh God, that we wouldn't have rebellion in our hearts. Oh God. Oh God, that we would not, oh God, be full of iniquity and filthy works and deeds, Lord. But oh God, give us that clean heart and a pure spirit, Lord. And oh God, a delight in thy word. And oh God, a desire to do that which you have ordained. Oh God, to follow thy plan and thy purpose, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. No other foundation than that which has been laid. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We're going to sing number 18 in our Melodies of Praise hymnal, The Solid Rock, number 18. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all alone.
other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, His blood, support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found. Rest in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.